Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show, is hosted by Annex Wealth Management, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Important information about the qualifications and business practices of Annex is available at annexwealth.com. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk. Please consult with a qualified fiduciary advisor about your specific situation. Annex Wealth Management is a local fee-only fiduciary providing investment, retirement, tax, and estate planning. Know the difference. Financial planning at every level. Annex Ignite. Annex Comprehensive Wealth. Annex Private Client. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
Jobs plummet, a gold rally, tariff refund, the Middle East, lots to talk about from this past week. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show. Great to have you here. I'm Joe Kraus, Chief Economic Strategist. Dr. Brian Jacobson is here. Hey, Brian.
Hey, it's great to be here.
And CEO of Annex Wealth Management, Dave Spano.
Yeah, for sure, Joe. Thanks. And there is a lot to talk about, and I think we'll have to start with the questions that I was getting all day on Friday, which is the spike in oil prices. And we saw them go over $90 a barrel. And that's obviously in reaction to what is happening in the Middle East. And that has a direct effect, of course, on a lot of things, from travel to what it costs you to fill up your gas tank. Therefore, it could be inflationary.
It could. And it affects people's inflation expectations, which is something that the Federal Reserve is really keen on trying to control, right? If people expect that there's going to be inflation, it changes their behavior, right? If you think prices are going to go up, you typically accelerate purchases, buy it now before the price goes up, and that can create inflation. So it can actually become a self-fulfilling expectation. And the high oil prices, people see it in your face on every corner. Gas prices, you see that go up. It's like, oh, inflation is back. It's part of what's been driving, let's say, the 10-year treasury yield, seeing that go higher. A lot of that is because of the changes in inflation expectations. So the longer this goes on, the higher these prices stay where they are. I think the Fed, it puts them in a real predicament.
It really does. And of course, folks, when we say this goes on, it's the conflict in the Middle East. And what has happened is the Straits of Hormuz has been effectively shut down to the most extent. Yeah. And that is what's driving it. So how about a little bit of background on what's happening there?
Yeah. So the Straits of Hormuz, right by Iran there, it's a choke point for the flow of oil. About 20% of the world's oil flows through that area. Now, Iran says that they haven't really closed it down, but yet it de facto has been closed. People are choosing not to go through it. You don't have insurance, right? There's the fear that you're going to get torpedoed. I think that is keeping ships from going through there. Interestingly, for Iran, 90% of their oil goes to China. And if you think about the flow of oil through those straits, a lot of it goes straight to India and then on to China. So they are feeling the pinch of these higher prices and the lack of supply. Now, from a macroeconomic perspective, the United States, we're in a little bit better position than in the past with these oil price spikes because we are a net oil exporter instead of an importer. But the countries that I think are really feeling the pain sooner than what we are likely to are really the Indias and the Chinas of the world, who are lower income countries and really dependent on those flows of oil.
And so when Scott Bessent has already set up the conversation with the Chinese for this conversation between the presidents of the United States and China, that perhaps they could buy oil from the United States. That is a really interesting conversation. But the appetite to see what happens over in Iran is the three M's, right? Do we have the munitions? What are the markets doing? And midterms are coming up. We'll have to see how those three pieces play out to see how long we are there. But it certainly looks like it should be a shorter term, hopefully, than what the markets are expecting.
That's what I'm hoping for and also expecting. You've oftentimes said very correctly, hope is not a strategy. Based on the data that we have and the information, what is our best assessment of the likely outcome? And given that President Trump said 4 to 5 weeks. And when you then consider folding in the War Powers Resolution, which does give him the authority to do military action for up to 8 weeks, I think it is reasonable to expect that we are likely to see some sort of resolution within that time window. It does feel like when you were talking about the spike in the price of oils, when I look at the what's called the futures market, so that's where investors can effectively kind of lock in the price in the future. It looks like, as you said, the market is pricing in that this is going to go on longer than that 8 week window. So kind of you're at the position, do you take the over or the under on it?
Exactly right. And of course, there's ways to handicap that. But the other big topic was Friday morning, we got a jobs report and it was woefully lower than our expectations.
It was. I was expecting that we were going to see it be about a positive 60,000. It came in as a minus 92,000. Now, in fairness, for the labor market the size that it is, that is a miss of about 0.2%. Okay, so sounds very small. It does matter, and the market didn't really like the news from that because we had the January employment number that was revised slightly slower to about 126,000, so still a very strong number, but a big payback then in February. Now, there were a few factors I think are worth highlighting. Number one, you had really bad weather throughout the United States in January and February. And anytime you have a cold snap like that, it does typically drag on that headline payrolls number. Think about like in the construction area, right? You can't work in those conditions. You also had a strike of about 37,000 people from a major healthcare provider. So these are all things that kind of took the number lower. And if you make some of those adjustments, it wasn't great. It was still probably close to zero, but maybe not as quite as bad as what it first looked.
And you think about where we are. And if we could get to the end of this conflict, number one, and as we start to move into spring and the tulips start coming up, people's attitudes do change. So even though it was a tough week all around, frankly, you can see that people are really concerned about global diversification. And that is a really big part of what we talk to our clients about a lot, is if you aren't in one area, and you spent a lot of time this week explaining those same things.
That's right. When it comes to a portfolio, you obviously need to remember some of those maxims about the importance of patience. In order to have patience, you need to have a plan. You need to have cash management. You need to know what your financial goals are. What are your sources of income, your need in terms of your spending? So having that patience, having that then diversified portfolios to support the plan as well. And part of diversification is about having that global universe to look at. When I look at the numbers from this past week, think about some areas like energy that was up on the week. That was up about, you know, about a full percentage point. We also had information technology, even though information technology is down year to date, it's kind of been leading the way lower. It actually had a decent bounce. And then when we look outside of the US, there were some major swings. Korea, their market was down 12% in one day, but then it rallied back 10% the next. So you do have, I think, with these types of events, it creates a shock, but sometimes those shocks can create mispricing opportunities where that's what, you know, we try to be on the lookout for. We aren't going to try to day trade a portfolio where it's about buying and selling and trying to actually time the market. But if the market presents you an opportunity to pivot towards something that you have higher conviction in for the longer term, you know, maybe that's not a bad thing to take a look at.
Click the Get Started button at annexwealth.com. If you have questions, love to meet with you. Connect with us in person or on video from wherever you are. We can show you how all this latest information, especially over the last week, can affect your portfolio and how you can be prepared when things happen. Mock projections. We love to do that for our clients to help you show where things might be headed. New videos all the time on our social media. It's a whole team who has your best interest in mind on your side with a holistic approach at Annex. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on 620 WTMJ.
Custom tailored investment and retirement planning from a fee-only fiduciary. Know the difference. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management. So talking about money with family can be tricky, even when everyone has the best intentions. Misunderstandings or unknown expectations, emotional triggers can make financial conversations a little stressful. But what are some of the strategies to navigating family money talks calmly and effectively? Deanne Phillips is the Managing Director of Client and Community Engagement, but also being a certified financial planner, certified divorce financial engineer, analyst and accredited behavioral financial professional, which deals with the emotional side of money. Deanne, you've seen these situations firsthand. Thanks for being here.
I have indeed. Thanks for having me.
What part of the know your numbers should people have ready before talking money with family or friends?
Sure. So before sitting down with your family, it's really important to anchor yourself in your own financial reality. And really, that means having a clear understanding of your budget, your spending patterns, and what your short and long-term goals really actually look like. When you know your numbers, then you're able to speak from a place of clarity rather than emotion, and that can dramatically shift the tone. So for higher net worth families, especially, this also means knowing where your liquidity stands, what upcoming obligations you anticipate, and of course, how flexible or inflexible certain assets may be. Do you have access to them or not? That matters when you're discussing things like vacation home, shared travel, or stepping in and helping with caregiving. When you enter into a conversation unprepared, Joe, you actually risk creating false expectations and perhaps implying that you'll contribute more than is comfortable, or maybe it would imply you're agreeing to things that don't align with your own goals. So having your numbers top of mind helps you set healthy boundaries while still being a supportive part of the family financial ecosystem.
And what are some of the solutions that should be included in the context of the family financial talks? Because I know that if you're prepared, that's one thing, but maybe you want to get the other person prepared with the same things that you want to talk about and the things that you found.
You bet. So as in life, it's one thing to show up with concerns. It's another thing to show up with solutions. You need to have that solution in mind. So families appreciate and they respond better to actionable suggestions. That means proposing gift-giving limits for the holidays, agreeing to rotate big hosting duties, or maybe setting up a shared fund for aging parents' household needs. When you bring concrete ideas to the table, you immediately shift the conversation from guilt or stress, which we know it can easily turn to, into collaboration and fairness. So it signals that you're not there to criticize or point fingers. You're actually there to craft a workable plan that respects everyone's financial reality. And for wealthier families, this can also include things like, should we set up a family LLC for the lake house? Or is a joint caregiving account appropriate so the load is shared when our parents need it? These solution-oriented approaches keep the conversation and discussion grounded and productive rather than emotional.
Or maybe talk to a professional like Deanne Phillips together. One person just doesn't have to do
it.
Yeah.
That's right. We actually do help with multi-generational family meetings all the time here.
And you recommend that they bring in someone with them from the family.
Yeah, I really do. I think multiple sets of eyes and ears are really helpful.
Pick your battles. Battle might be the wrong word, but what battles should we focus on?
Okay, well, some financial topics are quite simply just heavier than others. So things like estate planning, it's a hard topic sometimes. Long-term care, especially as we age, or discussions around family property. These subjects carry emotional weight. Launching them over dinner or during a holiday can feel abrupt or even insensitive. So picking your battles really means recognizing the timing matters. Okay. Family gatherings can be a great place to gently introduce an idea, plant a seed, and then suggest a dedicated time later on to dive deeper when everyone can focus on the topic at hand. So that gives everyone time to mentally prepare, think about their own position, and then come to the conversation thoughtfully instead of with a reactionary stance. The key to focusing your energy on topics with real long-term implications, care for aging parents, transition of family businesses, property decisions, legacy planning. Those are the battles that matter and the ones that benefit most from intentional, respectful conversation.
And let's say that if somebody's listening, we want to start involving a professional. What should they have in place before they come and talk to somebody like you?
I think a great place to start with Annex is with your wealth manager and a certified financial planner, right? So kind of a holistic look from a planning perspective. We bring neutrality and structure to what could otherwise become a messy or emotional conversation. This becomes especially helpful when you're navigating complex topics, again, like estate plans that involve multiple generations, business succession, long-term care decisions, or even balancing the needs of adult children with financial security of aging parents. A professional clarifies the numbers, outlines realistic options, and helps design a plan that respects everyone's goals and capabilities. So they're not emotionally entangled. Okay. And really what that means is they can mediate in a way that keeps discussions productive, positive, fair, grounded in facts rather than feelings. You know, in many cases, having that neutral third party is what allows families, especially those with significant assets, to move from worry to action with confidence.
Helping you navigate those sometimes difficult financial family conversations, Deanne Phillips, Managing Director of Client and Community Engagement. So she's seen it all. Thanks for being here, Deanne.
Thanks for having me.
Go to AnnexWealth.com. Click that Get Started button.
Financial planning at every level. Annex Ignite. Annex Comprehensive Wealth. Annex Private Client. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
Hey, we've had several in-person events and multiple locations this month, so thank you if you've joined us. If not, there are a couple of good ones still coming up. An event on saving the family cottage and an instant inside inflation trends Wednesday, March 11th, 9 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Eastern. We'll take your questions live. Click events at the top of the page at annexwealth.com. That will set up your reminder. And Brian Jacobson's going to be on the instant inside inflation trends. Lots to talk about, especially after this past week.
Oh, gosh, yes. Plenty to talk about. So with Instant Insight, we're going to be taking a look at the inflation numbers. And I think that has really gotten some heightened attention, mostly because the jobs number that we had, which we also had an Instant Insight about, the jobs number was pretty bad. It was negative 92,000. But then with the inflation numbers, what direction is that heading? Because does it put the Federal Reserve between a rock and a hard place? If they're trying to target full employment with a slowing labor market, but also trying to hit 2% inflation, is that also going to move away from target? So that's one of the things we're going to take a look at.
That's on the events page at annexwealth.com. And I always like to talk about some of the consumer stuff, but a lot of the things that I read over this past week, the word was bananas.
Oh, I know. Bananas, like my first experience with artificially flavored banana was like with Laffy Taffy.
I don't like the Laffy Taffy.
No, because
banana.
It tastes nothing like a banana. It was almost like they gave it to an executive. Have you ever tasted a banana? No, but it seems right. But some of this stuff, it's really fascinating, the flavor and how you have this piling on. I think Starbucks, they had this banana cold foam, which actually I kind of enjoyed. Dunkin', they followed suit. You see the banana flavor everywhere. And it kind of makes me wonder, where did this come from? Or are they just doing kind of a copycat thing? They're seeing one person was successful. And so it's like, well, let's jump on that bandwagon.
It's kind of like the pumpkin spice craze. Now we got bananas.
Yeah, I'm not as big of a fan of pumpkin spice. I like the subtle smoothness of the banana. When it comes to the pumpkin spice, I'd much rather have like a chai flavor instead.
Bananas are everywhere. Financial planning at every level. Annex Comprehensive Wealth, Annex Private Client, and Annex Ignite. 9 total locations. And another reminder, because these events are popular, our Women in Wealth event. Leverage your health as your greatest wealth. That is Wednesday, March 18th from 9 until noon. That's at our Brookfield headquarters. Community members talking about the goals of aging in place. Reserve your spot. Those are very popular. AnnexWealth.com. Glad you're here with us this morning. Time for news. Let's go to the WTMJ Breaking News Center.
Planning and investing insight from a fee-only fiduciary. You're listening to Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back. Chief Economic Strategist Dr. Brian Jacobson is here, and CEO of Annex, Dave Spano.
Thank you, Joe. You know, there's so much talk about AI and data centers, and there's a poll that shows that Americans are not particularly fond of AI given its potential impact on jobs. And I read that article and I went, well, the standard line is it's supposed to be additive. It's supposed to make people more productive. But I did find a list of companies that were announcing AI-related layoffs, right? And of course, most famously a couple of weeks ago was Block. Yep. It was 4,000. I know you have some thoughts on that. But Citigroup, 20,000. HP, 4,000 to 6,000. Intel, 24,000, and UPS, 48,000. Those are not small numbers.
No, these really aren't. And I tend to be a little bit more of, I think, an AI optimist as far as its effect ultimately on the job market, but doesn't mean that near term there isn't going to be some sort of transition cost or some pain. And some of the information that I've been seeing, let's say recent college grads, especially those in computer science, they are finding it harder to find those entry-level positions. And a lot of it could be because of how good some of these AI tools are at doing some of that grunt work, coding work. Now, we do have to be a little cautious. A company like Block, I was talking to a reporter earlier in the week, and we were looking at the numbers, how they tripled their headcount coming out of COVID. And there has been a lot of talk lately about, did they overhire? And now are they doing what's called AI washing, where using artificial intelligence as an excuse to cut headcount? So it's like, is it really AI, or is it just using it as a scapegoat? Now, if you think about it, you've seen so many economic and market cycles that you've probably seen those periods of time where managers of companies, they're focused on like cost plus, right? So who cares about cost, because you can push on the price increase, you protect your margins. You've seen other periods of time in which it's all about cost cutting, efficiencies. And are we at that point now where the shift is more towards the cost cutting, the efficiencies, and is AI being used now as a scapegoat instead of the actual underlying reason?
In our history, innovation has created new jobs. For example, the automobile replaced the railroad. Well, the new jobs were in auto manufacturing and energy and the like. You know, when ATMs came out, that was supposed to displace bank jobs, but there were more bank branches, there were more tellers around, and the internet that displaced retail and publishing. But it certainly created jobs in e-commerce and cloud and social media and the like. So there is certainly an opportunity that it can be additive and it can be more productive.
Yeah, and I think it's a matter of the time frame. And do the benefits happen first, or do you have to wait for them? On net, when we look at the economy, I think it is going to even now be an overall benefit as far as the variety and the quality of the information, maybe the price, right? So there are price effects. Does it drive down prices? So we might get some displacement. And that is one of the challenges. Mark Twain just very famously said how people love progress, but they don't like change.
The Annex Asset Almanac is out, helping you understand more about stocks, bonds, inflations, and how the market has moved through recent history. A complete guide is free on the blog section at our brand new website, annexwealth.com. Tax resources and our Women in Wealth page, including our new Women in Wealth podcast that we just launched last week. Just search Annex Women in Wealth. The Get Started button at annexwealth.com is where you can get connected with us in person, along with our client section if you're already on board. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on 620 WTMJ.
Money Talk is straight talk from a local fee-only fiduciary. It's time to know the difference. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management. Hey, wanted to remind you of an important event that we have coming up. Leverage your health as your greatest wealth here at our Brookfield headquarters. It is March 18th. It is an empowering event designed for those who want to age in place, focusing on the vital connection between health, financial well-being, and independence. And here to tell us more about it, April DeVolcanier, forensic accountant and CEO of Fortress Forensic Investigations. Hi, April.
Hi, Joe.
And here from Annex, Deanne Phillips, Managing Director of Client and Community Engagement. She'll be at this event too.
Oh, you betcha I will be, Joe. Thanks for having us on here. So, April, this is so exciting. This is actually the first time Annex is doing an expo. So this expo is during the day on March 18th from 9 to noon here at our Brookfield headquarters. Many guest speakers as part of this, as well as exhibitors. Tell us a little bit about what people can expect when they come at 9 a.m. on the 18th.
Yes, we are very excited about having people come in at 9 o'clock right at the beginning. We're going to have some education. So we're going to provide you with resources about how to stay healthy as we age, right? And so how to eat healthier, how to stretch healthier, kind of make sure that we're keeping that mobility that we have. And then we're going to also get into the aspects of what do we need to make sure that we are doing to protect ourselves as we continue to stay independent. So we're going to talk about some scams and frauds and planning for our older adult years. And we're going to make sure that we have all of these different aspects right at the beginning of the program for you. And then we'll move into the ability to really mingle around with the other attendees and with the exhibitors to learn about other products and services that are available to everybody.
So let's talk and break down first who's going to be talking. So we've got four people, different groups in town that are going to be discussing.
So we are planning on having a dietitian come in and talk about healthy eating. We're going to have a chiropractor coming in to talk about safe stretching. We're going to talk about...
Will that chiropractor actually be hands-on too? Because boy, I'll be in that queue. Anyway, I'm sorry.
I think they will be helpful in-person stretching.
Yep.
I don't think we're giving massages that this time. We will also have Annex Wealth Management talking about some different aspects of being prepared and having documents ready and necessary.
Those powers of attorney. And sometimes what stops us from completing those. So we'll talk about financial and the durable powers of attorney. We'll talk about healthcare powers and what that means in the state of Wisconsin. Yep. And then April, you're going to be guiding us through some what to watch for in terms of scams, I
Correct.
Think.
Not only scams, but also how to keep people financially responsible in regards to who they've chosen as their agent for powers of attorney.
You told me something really interesting when last we met about gel pens. Can you just share that tip?
Yes, absolutely. We are going to be talking about gel pens and why they're so prevalent and how necessary they are in regards to writing checks. If you still write checks, it's very important to use gel pens, specifically because of the fact that there's a lot of mail fraud that's out there and a lot of check washing that is out there. And so we're going to talk about, if you use a gel pen, those checks cannot be washed, which means the criminals cannot change the name or the amount of those checks if they are stolen out of the mail.
See, I can imagine everybody listening right now checking their pens right now. I know I did. That's a great tip. Okay, and then there are exhibitors also. So tell us a little bit about some of the people who will be exhibiting.
Yes, so we will have a number of different exhibitors here that will have products and services that are going to help people stay independent. So whether that's maybe somebody that needs a vision test, maybe that's somebody that needs a hearing test and test for hearing aids, maybe you need grab bars put into your bathroom to stay independent in your own home. If you are looking for maybe rehab services, if you're, you know, need a knee replacement and you need to recover and you want to do that at home, there's a number of different in-home facilities or agencies that are willing to come out and actually help you do your rehab right at home. And so we'll have some of those on staff as well as part of these exhibitors. So there's going to be a number of different opportunities to stay engaged throughout.
Financial too. Medicare specialists,
yes.
People on pre-planning your final arrangements as well.
Yes.
So yeah, this is going to be a very exciting first time Annex is doing this in conjunction with the community, an expo. It is free and open to the public in our Annex Wealth Management headquarters here in Brookfield. That is happening on March the 18th from 9 until noon. You do need to pre-register for this, so please go to annexwealth.com under that events tab and look for Leverage Your Health as Your Greatest Wealth.
April DeVarcomere, forensic accountant and CEO of Fortress Forensic Investigations. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Joe.
Deanne Phillips, Managing Director of Client and Community Engagement. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Go to annexwealth.com.
Financial planning at every level. Annex Ignite. Annex Comprehensive Wealth. Annex Private Client. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
Hey, glad you're here with us on Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show. This is also a free podcast on demand as soon as our show is over at the top of the hour, wherever you get your podcasts, along with our other podcasts. If you are currently a client or thinking about making the switch, take a look at our very active YouTube channel. It can certainly give you a good idea of how we build content every day at Annex to help you stay informed. We are creating content for you all the time. Just uploaded some new videos today and the Annex LinkedIn page with the latest financial trends, the events we have coming up, reacting to the latest financial news. Also, the Axiom, that is our newsletter where you're always going to have our week in review video from this show in your email on Sunday mornings. Just search Annex Axiom. The other podcasts like The Wealthiest, Ideas, Strategies, and Decisions of the Wealthy in America. Some people you might know on those episodes. And the SWOT podcast, Strengths, Weaknesses, Opportunities, and Threats of the Current Market, with a new episode first thing Monday morning. Chief Economic Strategist Dr. Brian Jacobson is here, and CEO of Annex, Dave Spano.
Thanks, Joe. You know, I think it's always valuable, folks, to share what we see throughout the week. So, you know, we have hundreds of client meetings across all of our branches, and it's always good to say, well, what are other people thinking about? And so there is certainly concerns that people have. There, some of them are structural risks. Some of them are market risks, right? But so we'll just start with the geopolitical fragmentation that we're seeing right now. That is a risk, and it's causing some intended consequences, mm-hmm. which is the higher price of oil. Mm-hmm. That is causing ripples across people's portfolios.
It is. When we look at portfolios, you know, the diversified portfolios, it can kind of smooth out some of the edges there, but you'd have energy stocks just going on a tear. Year to date is one of the best performing sectors, as you would expect. Higher oil prices, obviously, is going to help their revenue. And is this something that is going to help turn the tide for them after a couple years of underperformance? But when you think about then the dollar and its strength that we have seen lately, I was talking to a reporter earlier in the week. She said, I thought that there was this debasement trade where everybody was supposed to be selling the dollar, right, getting rid of it. It's like, well, in times of trouble, people do still flock to the dollar. And I think it's almost like a situation with a kid who wants to rebel against mom and dad, but then all of a sudden when the going gets tough, they go back to mom and dad yeah. for a little shelter. And I think that's what we've been seeing with the dollar lately.
You can talk about the dollar in the race for safety, but we also went back, you know, all the way back to World War II to say, when you're starting to see markets have longer downturns, mm-hmm. is it a financial crisis or is it a geopolitical event? And overwhelmingly, it is a financial crisis. You know, you can go back and I highlighted that, you know, you've had the JFK assassination and the 87 stock market crash. Those acted differently, of course, than the financial situations yep. that we've had.
Oh, so true. It seems like the things that have the bigger effect on the markets are when you have the global financial crisis, or you had the savings and loan crisis. You had these different things that affected more of the financial markets and the plumbing of the financial system itself. But when we have geopolitical events, a lot depends upon how short-lived it is, right? Obviously, the more protracted it is, the more costly it becomes. But even during those types of conflicts, markets can still do well. You know, I've taken a look at the 7 oil price spikes that we've had since like 1946, where they've just been huge increases. And on average, 6 months out, the stock market is still up because during that period of time, you know, we still do go about our business. Obviously, it's a very different story if you are in the country in which the conflict is taking place. And that is a completely different story as to what happens there. But in the United States, just the history of it is you can have periods like the 1973 oil price spike with the embargo there. That was in a context of stagflation, so the market did very poorly. But other ones, like 1979, the market actually ended up doing well within a month. So these geopolitical events, they do tend to be events where they do eventually pass.
And you nailed it. You said in the context of, right? Mm-hmm. And that's really important. Does a geopolitical event cause a financial outcome, right?
Yep.
So
yep.
that is the one thing you can't be myopic about your view on this. I'm not saying you, Brian. I'm
yes.
saying investors.
Yep.
That you can't say, does A cause B?
Yeah.
And if it does, and we start to have a financial outcome from that, then we have to look at that. And that's the reason why you said earlier in the show that the Federal Reserve has a very difficult job, because we see some job losses from AI.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is it from AI or is it not? We can have that conversation. But then what happens with inflation? If oil spikes, inflation goes up. The Federal Reserve, it does have a difficult job right now.
It does, because they want to control inflation expectations, right? If people expect inflation to happen, it typically does happen. And so higher oil prices, higher gasoline prices, does it shift the consumer's psyche and then their behavior? And so they probably want to talk tough, but are they going to act tough as well? My guess is probably not, mostly because just historically, they have looked through, so to speak, these oil price spikes. You see one price go up. That doesn't necessarily mean all prices are necessarily going to go up. In fact, in the past, when central banks have responded to commodity price increases, especially oil price increases, with tighter monetary policy, that's what makes the problem worse from an economic and a market perspective.
And that is really, folks, you know, we talk about what is happening in a global sense. These are the things that people are asking us about. So it really lends us to how you should have these portfolio strategy conversations, be it diversification, be it risk parameters, whatever it is, you go through that process and say, are they aligned? In fact, even if you've done it before, they drift away from where you want to go. And so you may have had a nice portfolio, but for example, maybe tech ran and mm-hmm. another part of that portfolio did not, and it got out of whack.
Yep.
And so this is an opportunity for us to help you through that process, get a second set of eyes on it, and more importantly, bring a seasoned wealth management team to your benefit.
And you can see how we're breaking it down for our clients all over our social media, YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram. There it is. Another episode of Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show. If you missed some of it, the podcast is ready right now on the radio station website, or you just search Annex Money Talk. And we've had several in-person events at multiple locations this month. So thank you if you've joined us. Everything from saving the family cottage to moving in retirement. And coming up this week, we have several webinars for you to stay informed, especially with everything that we talked about on this show today. We'll break down how inflation trends continue to fluctuate this Wednesday, March 11th, 9 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Eastern. That's potential paths to navigate our current inflation picture. Those are always free, and we love taking your questions. So set up your reminder, get registered, annexwealth.com. Doesn't take long. Just click on the events page, and you might find an in-person event close to you. If you do have a question, especially during this tax filing season, you can click the Ask Annex button on our website as well. The answers to all those questions are in quick video form on our social media, especially our LinkedIn page. Everything from Trump accounts to selling gold to what happens if you don't have an estate plan after you pass. Tax resources on our website, and of course, our new Women in Wealth page featuring our new Women in Wealth podcast that we just launched last week. And if you want to find that, just search Annex Women in Wealth. Might be something to check out during Women's History Month, highlighting that a lot during the podcast coming up this weekend. For Dave Spano, CEO of Annex Wealth Management, and Dr. Brian Jacobson, Chief Economic Strategist at Annex, have a great week. Join us again next Saturday at 10 a.m. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on 620 WTMJ.
Advice and opinions expressed during Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show, are solely that of the hosts or guests of Annex Wealth Management, and not WTMJ Radio or Good Karma Brands Milwaukee, LLC.